Welcome to Hiba is Writing, a podcast chronicling my journey as an independent author, writing to my heart's content. You're listening to season two, and this season is all about my current high fantasy novel in progress, The Pirates of Cissa. The story follows two people on opposite sides of a decades-long violent conflict who are forced to work together to usher in an era of peace. Hi there! I hope you're doing great and that April is treating you well so far. After many days of sun, these past couple of days have been a little cloudy over here, and the nights are still a little chilly overall. Still, it's wonderful to look out of your window and see such vibrant green everywhere and to see flowers blooming. It's very, very nice. Alright, so today I want to reintroduce the Pirates of Cissa. If you've listened to this podcast since the beginning, you might notice that I already introduced the Pirates of Cissa in Season 1, Episode 2. Now that was a while ago, but I do feel like the essence of the story has remained pretty much the same, if with many more characters involved than I had previously thought. Before I get into the major changes that have taken place, I want to go ahead and read the original blurbs out to you again because they are still very relevant, though certain terms and wording has been changed, and you will notice that if you have read the old blurb, which I, of this recording at the moment, still have uploaded onto my website. So, as of this recording, it's still there. You can go check it out. That is the old blurb, and I will be upgrading those graphics, updating them, changing them, and of course changing the blurbs contained within. So let's go ahead and read the first one. Sahara despises the Sissons for what they have done to her people. Vadra hates the Khorsan for what they have done to his. Both of them have blood on their hands. When the two of them are forced to work together to usher in an era of peace among the Sissons and the Khorsan, they must learn to overcome their differences in search of a common goal. A study in the politics of discrimination, imperialism, and the effects of decades-long conflict, the Pirates of Cissa delves into topics that remain relevant on a global scale today. So that was the first blurb, and one thing that I want to mention is that there is a line there that says both of them have blood on their hands. This is essentially true, but let's just take a moment to admit here that one of them has decidedly more blood on his hands than the other. I think we already know who that is. So that's something to keep in mind. Here is the second blurb. A decades-old conflict that won't die. A hatred that grows day by day. A death toll constantly on the rise. The Empire of Cissa has, for decades, abused the Khorsan, effectively expelling most of this minority and forcing them to live in the Black Desert, a harsh and unforgiving place where they must struggle for survival on a daily basis. As such, the Khorsan have desperately turned to theft to find food and supplies. They are constantly clashing with Sisson forces, with lethal results on both sides. For the Sissons, their hatred is justified. For the Khorsan, theirs is even more so. When both parties blame one another, when so much blood has already been spilled, when they have passed the point of no return, can peace truly become a reality, or is it simply a distant dream? So many of the original elements are still kept from the original blurbs. However, you will notice that there is a little bit of different wording, and I will address that in just a bit. So I had written these blurbs a long time ago, the original ones, way back when, you know, to introduce my followers on social media and my fellow writers at the time to my book. And the first blurb, you'll notice, deals with the individuals at the center of this book. Those are Sahra Ren, a Khorsan, and Vadravir, who is a Sisson. Their individual storylines are extremely important to the plot, and most of the plot is in fact directly or indirectly related to or dependent on them, despite the fact that they may not always have a say in certain matters or how things pan out. The second blurb is more of a general one, meant to give the reader a big picture scenario. I think sometimes it's easy to forget when you're reading stories that revolve around a particular set of main characters that there are others involved in that society and in that conflict at large. So I thought that was an important thing to also emphasize. The Empire of Sissa is the largest empire in all of Qarra. Its size is quite magnificent, and its ability to instill its control over such vast territories, many of which are conquered kingdoms, is impressive to say the least. We'll talk a bit more about the Empire of Sissa in another episode, but that's just to say that the empire is huge, with hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, living within its walls, and every single one of those people has been taught a specific kind of story about the Qursan. The Qursan, while a minority in numbers, are also a significant number of people living out in the Black Desert. Now, their numbers have historically dwindled because of the dangerous lives they lead as refugees in the Black Desert, but many of them are still surviving, and many of them feel the pain that the Sissans have caused all too strongly. So it's not just about Sahra and Vadra coming to terms with their hatred for one another. It can't be. They're not the only ones there. But I do wish to convey through their story how such a thing could be possible. I think the most effective way that I can do that is by focusing on two characters as examples. Two characters who truly despise one another and who have to walk a long and rocky road towards establishing mutual respect and forgiveness. So that's why there are two blurbs. What's missing from these blurbs, however, are the other very important characters that make up a great deal of the story. Sahra and Vadra might be the stars of the show, but all around them are characters with their own arcs and plot lines, including the Emperor Gallus, the palace servant Luca, the military general Krieg, and so-called scientist Gelsef, and many, many, many more. Each of them plays a crucial role, no matter how small, because they represent the different kinds of people involved in the situation at large, the kinds of people who are impacted by this conflict, and how each person has their own motives. They're also a good representation of how individual personalities can have a large impact when they have the power to instill their own will, and I think we'll see that especially with some of the higher-ranking members of Sissan society in particular. You might have also noticed that the original introduction episode's blurb referred to the Qursan as pirates. We'll get into the Qursan and the history of the Qursan-Sissan conflict in a later episode, but the term pirates was always meant to be a derogatory way of referring to the Qursan. There is a specific reason it evolved, and it's not something ethnic or racial in any way, but again, we'll get into that in more depth later on. The main point I want to make here is that language used plays an important role in the book, and you can definitely tell how people think of the Qursan and the judgments they make about them through the language they use when referring to them. Because the blurb is meant to be a blurb, I decided to use their actual name, which, at the time of writing the original blurb, I didn't have a name for the Qursan and only had the term pirates to fall back on, hence again the use of the term pirates in that original blurb. But it was never meant to be a permanent solution. As for the title of the book, you'll just have to read it and find out why I've decided to keep it as pirates rather than changing it, and there is a very important reason that will probably only really become, I suppose, evident towards the end of the book, but you'll see. Apart from that, the main themes of the Pirates of Sissa remain the same. Imperialism is a pretty big basket of problems to delve into, so I am sure I won't be able to discuss all the ways in which it is problematic, but I do my best to represent, even through day-to-day activities, the detrimental effect that imperialism has had on various peoples in the Empire of Sissa, though mostly the Qursan who have had to bear the brunt of the imperialist abuse, I think. Conflict de-escalation, escalation, and resolution are all important concepts that are dealt with as well, either directly or indirectly, as are a variety of other topics like discrimination, both institutionalized and individual, and the psychological effects of conflict, imperialism, and discrimination on not just the individual, but also the collective psyche. I can only hope that I do these topics justice in my book, and that readers can learn about the detrimental effects of all of these elements in a way that clearly represents the issues without sounding like a difficult research article. All right, that is all I have for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed this reintroduction to the Pirates of Sissa, and as an author, I feel bad for saying this, but this book in particular has been most exciting for me to write, and much more exciting for me to write than any of my other books so far. I've returned to it more often than any of the others, and have spent more hours on it than any of the others. It's a very important project for me, and while it was originally meant to be released after the fall of the Black Masks, the amount of fun I've had working on it is making me rethink that strategy. Especially since the plots introduced in these two books occur in parallel and don't necessarily depend on one another. Alright, so thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode. If you have any questions about the Pirates of Sissa or my writing in general, or if you want to request episodes about certain parts of the Pirates of Sissa, please don't hesitate to drop by my social media and let me know there. Don't forget, my spring sale is still happening. You can get a 30% discount for apartment if you use the code in the description of this episode, and you can get an even higher discount by subscribing to my newsletter. You can also subscribe to my newsletter to get monthly emails from me containing a bunch of awesome perks and subscriber-exclusive content. All the links are in the episode description. Until next time!